Good morning. I hope you're all doing well, and I promise I won't keep you long because I know I'm competing against lunch here. So hopefully this will keep you entertained until you can go and get some good lunch. My case study is on a practice that's a good practice, but they've had a little challenge with growth. And the doctor is not happy, not satisfied with the growth in the practice. She feels that it's been a little stagnant. When we started working together, she said, you know, we have a good practice, we have good clients, I have a good staff, we just moved into my dream facility, but I'm feeling a little pinch when it comes to paying the bills. Again, I know we have a good practice, but I don't understand what we're doing wrong because I'm having trouble paying the bills. So what I want to teach you today are some areas to look at in your practice to help identify, if that sounds familiar to you, that you have a good practice, but you're having a little trouble sometimes paying the bills. I want to give you some ideas for places to look to help identify where the areas of opportunity, I prefer to think of them as areas of opportunity as opposed to problems, but the untapped potential in your practice. And no matter how strong of a practice that you have, I firmly believe that every practice has some untapped potential. So hopefully you'll leave today with some ideas about how to tap into that untapped potential. So we're going to start by describing or defining who our case study is. And this is a true life example, but as Louise said this morning, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. So this is a real life example. When Dr. Barnes first approached us for help, this is what her practice looked like. She and her associates, it's a three-doctor practice, full-time equivalents, were generating $850,000 in revenue. The staff-to-doctor ratio is about 4-1. Again, those are full-time equivalents. And that's important to know because your staff-to-doctor ratio can impact the productivity of the doctors, as you all know. So that's our best care animal hospital. Dr. Barnes, the owner, is 45. The patient does come first in their practice, and that is one of our first criteria for being a well-managed practice, is that the patient comes first. We never lose sight of why we all do what we do. So that's very important. But as she had said to me earlier, I'm having a little trouble paying the bills. It's not always easy to make those bills. When we talked about fees in her practice, we found that after our analysis that there were some areas where she really wasn't charging appropriately for the level of care and the level of service that she provided. And we also found that sometimes they were a little lax in charging for the services, that the fees maybe were okay, but they didn't always charge for everything that they did. So that was an area of potential. And as I'd mentioned a moment ago, they are in a new facility. They've been in this facility for just about 2 years now. And she wants to sell a portion of her practice to an associate within the next 3 years. They have a plan. They have a plan. And they've been discussing this. They started discussing this really almost from the time the doctor joined the practice, because Dr. Barnes knew she wanted to have a partner. And she wanted to find out if the doctors that she was hiring had that interest. So that was part of the discussion during the interview process. So we know we've got to plan for this associate buy-in. So first, the first step in identifying the untapped potential in your practice, I'm going to focus on the revenue side. Because, well, yes, there's opportunity to better manage your expenses. In Dr. Barnes' situation, she did a great job of managing her expenses. She really did. So her potential was on the revenue side. And that's been my experience with a lot of my clients, is many times the true potential is on the revenue side. So that's why I'm focusing today on the revenue side. I know earlier we had some questions about expense targets or really owner compensation targets in a well-managed practice. So I will share that with you as well a little later in the program. So let's start first by identifying what are the revenue parameters, what are the components of your revenue, what determines your revenue. These numbers are from our well-managed practice study. This information comes from our 2006 well-managed practice study. We're currently working on our 2007 study, so we'll have updated information by mid-2007. But in our 2006 study, the doctors were producing almost $421,000 of medical revenue per doctor. These are full-time equivalents. Full-time equivalents, 40 hours a week on average. Other revenue, other including food, ancillary sales, boarding, grooming, retail sales. So in total, pretty close to $500,000 of production per doctor. That's our target. Now, going back to the earlier slide in Dr. Barnes' practice, three-doctor practice generating $850,000 of revenue, not quite there. So we've got some room to grow. We created this visual tool to help our clients see more clearly what the different components of revenue are and how they interrelate. This revenue chart is in your proceedings book, so you've got that available. It's also, as Louise mentioned, these are going to be on the AVPMCA website, so you can access it there. And I've published this chart over the years many times in the various articles that we write. So it's out there. It's available for you to use in your practice. But to start with, your revenue is determined primarily by two things. It's the fees that you charge, and the activity, the number of transactions or invoices in your practice. So I want to start on the fee side of your revenue. So we analyze the average charge per doctor transaction. And these are the invoices that the doctors are directly involved with. That's what we focus on, the average charge per doctor transaction. Your average charge is determined by the fees that you charge, your overall fee structure, and by what we call your service product mix. How much of your revenue comes from doctor services and how much comes from medication sales? Your service product mix. And we're going to give you targets for all of these in just a moment. Number of transactions, the activity side of revenue. How many invoices or transactions are we generating in the practice? How about active clients? Your number of transactions are determined by the number of active clients that visit your practice and how frequently, on average, those clients visit. Now, an active client we define as one who visits the practice at least once in a 12-month period, a 12-month period. Many of your veterinary software programs count active as within the last 2 or 3 years. We want to focus on 12 months. So that's my definition of active here. You've seen that client at least once in a 12-month period. Client visitation is a calculated number. And let me give you the formula. If you take your doctor transactions and divide it by your active clients, doctor transactions divided by active clients. That will tell you, on average, how frequently your clients are visiting. And I'm focusing on the doctor transactions because I want to know medically how frequently your clients are visiting. That's where I'm focusing my efforts, is on the medicine side of your practice. So doctor transactions divided by active clients, that will tell you on average how frequently your clients visit. Active clients are determined by the number of new clients that visit your practice and how long on average you keep a client once they become a client, your client retention. Client retention is also a calculated number. For your purposes today, I'm going to give you what we call the quick calculation. We have a more detailed formula that we use when we're working with clients, but for your purposes today, if you take your active clients and divide it by the number of new clients that visit your practice, both of those numbers need to be a 12-month number. So active clients divided by the number of new clients in that 12-month period will give you a quick approximation of your client retention. All right? New clients are determined by the number of potential clients that call your practice and how many of those potential clients become a client and schedule an appointment. So these are the components of revenue that you want to analyze in your practice. And I encourage you to keep an eye on these, really, on a monthly basis. Now, what are the targets? The average doctor transaction in a well-managed practice is about $130. However, that number is very tied to the economics of your community. So $130 may not be appropriate for your community. So I want to give you another little formula that you can use to calculate what your average doctor transaction should be. If you take the average doctor transaction is a function of your fees and the number of transactions. Well, actually, I'm sorry, of your fees. We use your examination fee as an economic indicator for your community, your exam fee. So if your exam fee is appropriately priced for your community, then we can use that as a gauge for where your average doctor transaction should be. So that relationship between the exam fee and the average doctor transaction is about 3.3 times your exam fee. So if your exam fee is $50, 3.3 times 50 is what I would expect your average doctor transaction to be. If your exam fee is $35, 35 times 3.3 is what I would expect your average doctor transaction to be. So go home and do that math and see where you are. And if the formula says your average charge should be higher than what it truly is, then there's an area of opportunity. So $130 was the average in the well-managed practice, but really what you need to look at is the relationship between your exam fee and your average doctor transaction to identify if yours is where it needs to be. Exam fee, the average in the well-managed practice, again, was $38, but that's very economically based. It's going to be different depending on the part of the country that you're in. The service product mix target is 85% of your medical revenue coming from services, doctor services, 85%. 15% for medication sales. That's our target. That's what we call the service product split. We want an 85-15 service product split. Transactions, about 3,100 doctor transactions per doctor. All of these are per doctor, and they're annual numbers. 1,100 active clients who visit about 3.1 times a year for medical purposes. That's our goal. We average about 216 new clients per doctor per year with client retention of about 4.7 years. Now, these two numbers, the new clients and the client retention, will vary a bit depending on the type of community that you're in. If you're in what we call a stable community where there's not a lot of population movement, then these numbers are going to be pretty good targets for you. But if you're in a more transitional community where there is a lot of population movement, then your numbers, your new client numbers, need to be a lot higher because your client retention is lower. People move away, not because of anything that you have done, but because they move away. So you have to be aware of the type of community that you're in when you're using these targets as guidelines for your practice. If you're going to have 216 new clients per year, our target is that you've got about 288 potential clients per doctor calling the practice per year, and you've got a 75% scheduling rate. Now, I can tell you, how many of you monitor the number of potential clients that call your practice? Rarely see that. How many of you monitor your scheduling rates? A few? It's rare that practices do monitor this. I do this if I'm working with a client who wants to build their new client base, or they're having a client retention problem, then we've got a little exercise, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, because in the Best Care Animal Hospital, that's one of the action steps that we took in bumping up or giving them a jump start to their revenue. So those are our targets, our revenue targets. Now here is what Dr. Barnes' revenue chart looked like when we started working together. Her average doctor transaction is $94. Her exam fee is $34. Is her average doctor transaction where it should be? What should it be? Those of you with good math, without a calculator, about $112. So I have highlighted that average doctor transaction in yellow, or that box in yellow, because it gives me a visual tool, or better yet, it gives Dr. Barnes a visual tool to see quickly at a glance the areas of opportunity. So that's how I would urge that you use this revenue chart in your practice, fill in your numbers, compare them to the targets, and then get out your highlighters. We're very visual in our practice, so we color things, we highlight things, but it gives you a great visual tool to see at a glance where your areas of opportunity are. So we've got an area of opportunity with her average doctor transaction. Her exam fee is $34, but based on some market research that we did in her community, we found that that was a little bit low. She had not priced her exam fee based on the economics of the community. So we highlighted it in yellow. It's another area of opportunity. Her service product mix is 80% services, 20% medication sales. Not too bad. Not too bad. But what was our goal? 85-15. Right. So we have another area of opportunity. Doctor transactions, pretty close to 2,800 per doctor. What's our target? 3,100. So, area of opportunity. Active clients, 1,100 active clients per doctor. Very strong client base. But look at her client visitation. What's our goal? 3.1. So we've got a huge area of opportunity. New clients, she's averaging about 190 new clients per doctor per year. That was a little bit low. Look at her client retention, though. Excellent. Very strong. 6 years. So once she gets them, she keeps them. So am I concerned, even though her new client numbers are a little bit light, is that a problem, do you think? It's offset by the client retention. So yes, it's an area of opportunity. We've highlighted it, but it's probably not going to be the first thing that we focus on because, again, her client retention is so strong. She doesn't necessarily, and her active client base is so strong, she doesn't necessarily need to grow that. But she's got a huge amount of untapped potential with her existing client base if she can increase that client visitation. She's got a lot of potential clients calling the practice, but a pretty dismal scheduling rate. So we've got some work to do. Now, if your scheduling rate is low for potential new client callers, where do we start looking? Front desk. What's happening at the front desk when people call? So that's the revenue chart for Best Care Animal Hospital. We've identified our areas of opportunity. Now we've got to have a plan. We've got to have a plan because we can't just start willy-nilly. Let's attack everything at once. It's too overwhelming that way. So just like Dr. Barnes, I would encourage all of you, once you've identified your areas of opportunity, to make a plan, a step-by-step, orderly, organized plan so that we can get these things done, get some changes implemented. So this is Best Care Animal Hospital's action plan. And we did this with the entire staff. We didn't just do it with Dr. Barnes, because it's going to take the entire team to get these changes in place and implemented. So we actually involved the entire team in setting up this action plan. So these are the goals that they decided they wanted to accomplish. First and foremost, they wanted to continue to elevate their patient care. They know they're a good practice, they know they have high quality care, but they're not going to rest on their laurels. They want to continue to raise the bar. So that's their number one goal. We want to continue to elevate our patient care. We never want to lose sight of why we do what we do. Second goal, they wanted to enhance client service. They weren't very happy with that scheduling rate. They wanted to do a better job. They wanted to capture more of those potential clients calling. And again, they didn't want to rest on their laurels. They wanted to continue to raise the bar, continue to look for opportunities to meet and hopefully exceed the client's expectations. So that's very important. Third, they wanted to have the ability to invest in new technology. Again, pretty well-equipped practice, but they weren't satisfied. They had an equipment wish list, as most practices do, so they had that in their goal. We want the ability to start buying some of those pieces of equipment that are on our wish list. And they wanted to be in the position to give raises to the doctors and the staff. I would have to say that this is a universal goal. Anytime I'm working with a client, I always have them fill out goal forms, and it's the rare practice that doesn't genuinely, sincerely want to pay their staff better. They just need the financial ability to do so. So that's where our work comes in. So these are the team goals. The action plan, first thing we're going to tackle is improving the average doctor transaction. Theirs was 94. It should have been about 112. So we've got some room, some work to do. So that's their first step in their action plan. Their second step is they want to improve their client visitation. They don't like that 2.5 times a year for medical purposes. There's a lot of health care that's going undone for their patients, and they want to change that. They want to improve their patient care. And then the third thing that they want to do is increase the number of new clients. Again, I wasn't overly concerned with that low new client number, but they've got a lot of people that are calling them that they're not capturing. So if we can change that, and one of the goals that Dr. Barnes had told me, it wasn't on the slides, but she said, you know, I really would like to plan to add another doctor. To add another doctor, she is feeling like we've got to grow our new client, our client base, so that we've got the client demand there to support that additional doctor. So they had that as one of their steps in their action plan. So these are the steps. So the first thing in terms of increasing the average doctor transaction, we need to take a look at their fees. And I'm going to give you my ground rules for fee work. Anytime, before you ever start changing your fees, I think that you have to keep these, or set the intent, really, set the intent of doing these three things. One, I want to be sure that we are charging for the doctor's time and knowledge. I want to be sure that the doctors are paid fairly for their time and knowledge. So that's my number one ground rule. Is we charge for your time and your knowledge. My second ground rule is that you charge for the services that you're providing. You all have wonderfully compassionate hearts, and you love to give things away to your clients. And that's great, but it does come with a cost. It impacts your ability to continue to raise the bar. So I want to be very selective about what we choose to give away. and we don't want to give away your time and your knowledge. And then third ground rule is that we set our fees appropriately. And we use these pricing strategies. Cost-based pricing. This is taking the cost of a drug or a product, adding an appropriate markup, and the end result is what we charge the client. Competitive pricing. This is for those services that clients are price sensitive about. So what am I talking about? Vaccinations, elective procedures, yes. So we want to be aware of what is happening in the community and use that information to help us make some decisions about how we're going to price these services in our practice. Variable pricing is changing your standard price to influence where or when or how clients purchase your services or your products. So any kind of discounting that you do is an example of a variable pricing strategy because you have changed your standard price. If you bundle healthcare into a package and you reduce the bottom line, if they bought it individually, the price would be higher than if they buy this package. That is an example of a variable pricing strategy. And then our fourth and most important is value-based pricing. And value-based is most important because it applies to the doctor's time and knowledge services. So this is where we want to attach the most value to the doctor's time and knowledge services. Now, resources to help you with your fees. The American Animal Hospital Association does a fee survey every 2 years, and I believe their latest one comes out in May of 2007. I'm not sure if it's available. Check in the exhibit hall. It might be available now, but I think I was reading somewhere that it's out in May. So that's an excellent resource. The Well-Managed Practice Study, we survey fees every 2 years, and again, our 2007 study will be out in August. So those are resources that are available to you to help you in pricing your value-based services. The other piece to this, in addition to making sure that your fees are appropriately priced, is the capturing of charges. All right. Doesn't like the slide. There we go. There's a reason it doesn't like this slide. This is something that I do on a regular basis with my clients. And I would encourage you all to do this on a regular basis in your own practices, is to identify if missed charges are happening, and if so, how frequently, and do we have any habits? Do we have any trends? Do we have any things that we always do that we always missed? It is not unusual in outpatient cases that 15 to 20% of the time, we are missing charges. And I would say on average of $15 to $20. For inpatient cases, it's worse, $40 to $60 on average on 40 to 50% of the cases. If you think this is not happening in your practice, I would go back and do a little audit to find out, because I think you might be surprised, unhappily surprised at how frequently this truly might be happening. And if it's not happening in your practice, if you do the audit and you find you're really missing very little, kudos to you. That's fantastic. But I think doing this case study is an important thing because it can help create awareness in the practice. Yes? Does anyone do this in your practice on a regular basis? And what do you find? Do you mind sharing? All right, so they've instituted a profit-sharing plan for the staff where if they find a missed charge before the client leaves so that you can bill them, that they get 10% of whatever that fee is. Good. All right. This is an example of some of the types of services that I'll see routinely given away. In the outpatient realm, medical progress exams. What's a medical progress exam? A recheck. Terminology is a way to enhance the client's perception of value. So if you're still calling it a recheck, throw it out of your dictionary. call it a medical progress exam. Right or wrong, automatically it has more value to me as a client, and I am a veterinary client. I share my home with three kitties. Right or wrong, it sounds more important. Therefore, the value of it, in my perception is reality, goes up. So call it what it is, a medical progress exam. Extended exams, how many of you, if you're in the exam room longer with a client because either they have a lot of questions or their patient has a lot of medical issues, how many of you charge a higher exam fee for that? Wonderful. A lot of people did not raise their hand. Blood draws. If you're drawing blood, is there a fee for that? And then the old, while you're at it, the things you didn't plan on doing because you didn't know until you got into the exam room, do those make it to the client's invoice? It's amazing how many times they don't. Inpatient, these are the types of services that I see routinely missed. Examinations. Again, you've got a patient in the hospital. The doctor is examining that patient at least once a day. Is there a fee for that exam? There should be. Hospitalization, the patient that is there 5 or 6 or 7 days, is there a hospitalization fee for every one of those days? Monitoring, the electronic monitoring that you do, is there a fee for that? You have to pay for that equipment. Injections, again, the patient that's getting 4, 5, 6 injections each day, there's a medical reason that they are getting those injections. Is there a fee for every one of those injections? When you do your record audit, you might find something different, but these are just some ideas, some trends that I see in practices. But the key is to identify what your habits are within your practice and then develop a plan to help eliminate those. We're really trying to create awareness. To do this, I recommend pulling a random sample of cases that each doctor has worked up. You're comparing the medical record for the service provided to the client invoice for the service billed. Was everything that was provided billed? If not, what's the usual fee for it? How much did we miss? And then let's summarize the results and discuss it as a group and then develop a plan. Develop a plan. We did that in Dr. Barnes' practice, and this is what we found, that they were missing on outpatient cases 25% of the time. They were missing an average of $20. On inpatient, 70% of the time. They were missing an average of $50 a case. A lot of revenue. And this is pure profit because she paid all of her expenses. They provided the care. The patients got the care. She paid her overhead. She paid her staff members. She paid her doctors. She paid for her facility. The practice didn't get paid because they did not bill the client. So this is huge. This was a huge, huge thing for her. Here's their action plan to help reduce this. Now, I'm not naive enough to expect that you will never miss a charge. Reality is you've got busy practices. It's going to happen. But if we can reduce the frequency of it, that's what we're shooting for here. So this is the plan in Best Care Animal Hospital's practice. What we found is part of the reason they were missing so many hospital charges is they were not entering the charges every day. They were waiting until the patient was being discharged and then running around like crazy trying to get everything entered, and they missed things. How many of you have done that? Happens pretty regularly. They were not using an in-hospital treatment sheet. They were just trying to remember as they were doing the treatments, they were supposed to go to the computer and enter them. Well, you know how it is in a busy hospital. You get interrupted in the middle of treatments. So maybe they remembered everything that they did. When they finally got around to entering the charges, maybe they didn't. So they decided to start using an in-hospital treatment sheet to circle or track the care that they were providing. They decided to start entering charges on a daily basis instead of waiting until the end. And to highlight, once they entered it into the computer, to highlight it so that if more than one person was entering charges for that case, they would know that a charge was entered and not duplicated. The technicians were matching the treatment sheet to the medical record, again, to make sure that everything was captured. And the receptionist did a final cross-check at discharge. So that was the action plan that Dr. Barnes and her staff came up with. And then we also updated their fees, because when we did their fee analysis, we found that some of their fees were not appropriately priced. The result from this step of improving their average doctor transaction, it went to $125 just by capturing the charges and getting the fees where they needed to be. Pretty easy, really, stuff to implement. Their average charge went up to $125, no increased activity yet. Their revenue grew by $250,000. Pretty nice result. Second strategy, they wanted to increase their client visitation, so they decided they wanted to really emphasize or focus on exams. They wanted to do more and better exams. So in their emphasis on wellness, these were the areas that they talked about. Are we doing enough exams? Are we doing thorough enough exams? Are we doing enough diagnostic work for our patients? What's necessary, not padding the bill, but what is necessary for the patient? Nutrition. Are we talking enough about nutrition and educating the client about nutrition? Behavior, life stage health care. These are the steps that Dr. Barnes and her staff implemented. They had been talking about for some time implementing 6-month exams. They started first by thinking, we're going to do that for our senior patients. But the more they discussed this internally, medically, the doctors decided they wanted to recommend 6-month exams for all of their patients. So that was on their to-do list. 6-month exams. They wanted to do more medical progress exams. They realized they had kind of slipped into the habit of letting the client call them if everything wasn't okay. Client isn't a doctor, doesn't have the medical knowledge. So if they're treating a case that the doctors feel medically, we want to see this patient for a medical progress exam, we're going to make the effort to schedule that before the client leaves that day. And then they really wanted to have a continued emphasis or refocus their efforts on their senior wellness plans. In order to make sure that they were accomplishing what they set out to accomplish, they stepped back and said, what is our standard of care? Do we need to change our doctor recommendation in the exam room? Do we need to change our presentation? Are we clearly communicating in words that clients understand? Are we clearly communicating what their pet needs? The written information that we give them, is it clear? Is it concise? Are we effectively communicating the message that we're trying to send? Are we proactively scheduling? Are we taking the responsibility in our hands to make sure that that necessary health care gets scheduled? Again, if a doctor wants to see a patient again, I believe that needs to be scheduled before the client ever leaves that day. If you know you want to see my kitty again in 5 days, schedule the appointment before I leave so I don't forget. If you know that my kitty needs a dental procedure, schedule the appointment before I leave that day. If you know that my senior kitty's on chronic medication, that you want to periodically check her blood work, schedule it. Even if it's 3 months out or 6 months out, my schedule is booked 6 months out or a year out. I appreciate that proactive effort on the part of my doctor. I said it this morning, if any of you attended the 10-minute briefs, I have reminder cards sitting on my table at home that have been there for, I think I've gotten the second or maybe the third reminder, and I haven't scheduled the appointment yet. And it's not that I don't want to, I just haven't gotten around to picking up the phone and calling. I wish my doctor called me to schedule my doctor's office, not my doctor, but my doctor's office. Because I can guarantee you the appointment would be scheduled if they did. Because they took the responsibility for doing it. So take the responsibility, schedule it now, follow up on those reminders. If your clients have not responded to written reminders, call them. Call them to schedule the appointment. It's good for the patient. You're being the patient advocate. It's good for the client. It's convenient. It's one less thing that I have to remember to do. And it's good for the bottom line. Yes.
We tried that. We tried it twice.
Every
time our clients politely told us to.
Your clients do not appreciate that.
They view it as.
All right. Well, then I would suggest somehow we change the way the message or change the way you're communicating that so that. They don't polite you to tell you to do things that you really don't want to do. All right, and then finally, charge for the exam. The result in Dr. Barnes' practice, they did improve their client visitation to 3 times a year. They increased their transactions by 550 per doctor, and we've got a 3-doctor practice. Increase in revenue of $200,000. Tremendous untapped potential. Now we've tapped into it. All of these changes we accomplished in 12 months. Some of them a lot sooner. The first results happened very quickly. I mean, you can change your fees overnight. You can start capturing your charges overnight. Improving your client visitation is going to take a little longer, but it can be done. The third strategy, they wanted to enhance the client's perception of value, so they felt one approach that they could do that is through better educating their staff. So they wanted to implement some internal continuing education projects designed with the intention of teaching their staff about the importance of impressions. The importance of impressions. What is your client's impression of your practice when they call or when they visit? Are we communicating the value? Are we presenting the professional image that we want to present, that we want our clients to see? We did a community survey, and I don't have time to go into the details of how to do this, but this is a wonderful continuing education tool for your staff. Fantastic. Published articles. There are tons of wonderful articles and trends in veterinary economics that you can read as a group, discuss as a group, see how that applies in your practice. Tons of opportunities out there. Visiting another practice as a client. This morning, one of the management briefs was about mystery shoppers and having people come into your practice as a client. And they are critiquing you. I think you can do the same thing, send your staff members to other practices as a mystery shopper and evaluate the response. It's amazing how critical your staff members can be of other staff members, other practices. But you can learn a lot from this. And then even visiting a restaurant, here my point is evaluating your perception of value. You go to an expensive restaurant and you critique the visit from start to finish, did you get what you paid for? And that's what your clients are doing every day when they visit your practice. Are they getting what they're paying for? So it teaches your staff about the importance of that. This is the tracking tool that we use, the market research tool that we use if we're trying to grow our client base. We're trying to evaluate, why is our scheduling rate low for those potential new client callers? We track it. We call it a potential new client caller log. Nothing very original about that. But we basically keep sheets of paper at the front desk or by whoever's answering the phone, by every phone, and you're tracking, you're logging the potential clients that call your practice. And we're gathering information. Who took the call? What time of the day and day of the week and date did the call come in? What's the caller's name and address and phone number? Now, you have to get this information as part of a conversation. It's not an interrogation, but make it part of the conversation. It's easy to get someone's name, and I think you should ask their name immediately so you can start calling them by name when you're talking to them, because that's a way to start building rapport. The address is easy to get later in the conversation by offering to send them something. How many of you offer to send a practice brochure to everybody who calls your practice? Wonderful. That is a way to set yourself apart. It's a way to get their address. How did they hear about you? We need to ask those questions. How else can you evaluate if your marketing is working for you? Ask how these people found you. Why are they calling? This is just what kinds of questions are they asking. And then, did they make an appointment? What we're going to learn from this caller log, you're going to identify your busiest days and times. Maybe the problem is you don't have enough reception staffing in your busiest times of day. So they're not doing a very effective job on the phone because they don't have enough people to do it. They're doing a pretty good job given the number of people that they have. You're going to identify who your most effective team member is. Who is the most likely person to get an appointment scheduled? And that's not for punishment purposes for the ones who aren't doing as good of a job. But that person who's really good at it can facilitate internal CE for everybody else. Teach them what they do to get those people to schedule an appointment. You'll identify the best source of your referrals of new clients. Why are people calling? And then why didn't they schedule? So you can get a tremendous amount of information when you do a caller log. I've published information about this. I think the latest article would have been November 2005 veterinary economics article. I think it was called Rev Up Revenue. You can access those online if you don't have your back issues. You'll also identify the effectiveness of your advertising, where to spend your advertising dollars, give you a little bit of an idea about your price-sensitive pricing. If everyone who's calling is asking about price and nobody is scheduling, well, maybe we need to go back and take a look at your pricing structure. Is your availability meeting the client's needs? And do we need some more training at the front desk? For Dr. Barnes' practice, her scheduling rate originally was 40%, I think, if you remember. We improved that to 50% with the internal continuing education steps that she took. This increased their new clients by 50 per doctor. This is for the year. Increase in transactions, 150 per doctor. So an increase in revenue by $56,000. So this is what Best Care Animal Hospital's revenue looked like after, again, we did all of this in about a year. So after a year of working, her revenue now is pretty close to $1.4 million, was $850,000. Same number of doctors, same number of staff members. We didn't have to hire anyone to do that. And this is what her revenue chart looks like after the first year. Now, we still have some areas of opportunity, obviously, but we did a lot. We accomplished a lot in a year. And you can, too. It really is a matter of identifying where your areas of opportunity are, where your untapped potential is, and then together with your team developing an action plan, just like Dr. Barnes did. What's your action plan? What are your goals? What do you want to accomplish? And how are you going to go about doing it? What's your action plan? And then monitor the results. Identify where you were when you started, and then identify where you are when you end, and see where your improvements lie. So hopefully this gives you some great ideas. Any questions? We have just 1 minute. Questions? Yes?
Is your average doctor transaction fee based only on the exam room?
No, the average the question is the average doctor transaction only based on outpatient visits? No, it includes all invoices that a doctor is involved with. So it's outpatient and inpatient and surgery. Is prescription diet in that? The only prescription diet in that would be the initial prescription if it's part of an outpatient visit. Any other questions? Thank you all very much.